Why are there certain subjects that we just don't like to talk about at church? Why are there things that you would prefer not to hear me speak about from the pulpit? You know, things like politics, for example. You know, we don't want the preacher to talk about politics, yet if we understand the message of Jesus, if we understand the letters of Paul, the teachings of Peter and the writer of Hebrews correctly, here's what I can tell you. It is that the gospel of the kingdom is most assuredly a political statement. A political statement that says that Jesus is king and all others are at best imposters. There's another topic that we don't like the preacher to talk about, and that's sex. You know, there's a topic that most of us would rather we just not talk about in church. Yet here's what I know. I've read that God invented sex, and that the book of Song of Solomon is one of the 66 books of the Bible. And so here's what I think. I think that God wants us to say that sex is good if it's used in the proper context. So we can talk about politics, we can talk about sex. They're biblical concepts, they're biblical ideas. Then there's the concept of money. And you might say, preacher, don't touch my money. Stay out of my wallet. Stay out of my checkbook. Well, talk about money. The Bible talks about money in all sorts of places. So why not the church? After all, Jesus had quite a bit to say about money in His time on earth. Paul wrote a few times about money. So why not the preacher on Sunday morning? Why isn't it appropriate? Why don't we want the preacher to talk about money? I thought about this, and it just happened that last night as I was sitting on my computer, I was flipping through some things, and this page came, or this ad for a slideshow came up for things that televangelists and famous preachers don't want you to know. And it got me thinking, you know, maybe one of the reasons that we don't want the preacher to talk about money is because of the overuse and abuse of that topic by preachers and others in the past. Maybe it's because it's a god, money is a god, that we don't want to rid ourselves up, and so we want to keep it hidden. And so we don't want the preacher to bring it to light. And if you haven't already guessed, we're going to talk about money this morning. But don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not after your wallet. I'm not going to play with your checkbook this morning. Instead, we're going to discuss why you can trust the church with your offerings. We're going to look at what you can expect, what you need to know about the church and money. To do that, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And in case you're interested, I was doing some thinking about this last night. And in case you're interested, with this morning's sermon included, I've preached 5 sermons out of approximately 130 on money. And that's about 3.85% of my sermons have been about money. And I know that I've preached a lot more on love. I've preached a lot more on serving. I've preached a lot more on evangelism than money. And so it's not really out of proportion to talk about money. This is what Paul writes to the church. The book of Corinth, he's writing to a church that's really messed up. They've got some good things going, but they've got a lot of things that they need to work on. You know, we say we want to be the early church. Well, we don't want to be Corinth. We might want to be some of the other churches, but not Corinth. They've got a lot of things wrong. You know, that's why there's 2 letters to the church at Corinth in our Bibles, because It took a lot of ink for Paul to get some things right with them. And this is what he says to them about money. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you are also to do. on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and to store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collection when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me." These four verses tell us a lot about how the church should handle money. They tell us a lot about what the churches are supposed to do. And so this morning, I just want to tell you three things. Three things that the church will do with money. Three things that you can expect from the church. The first of those, as I was reading through here, the first of those is that we will take an offering regularly. We will regularly give you the opportunity to give. As I was reading through this and thinking about it, one of the reasons that we give you an opportunity every week to give, and we don't make you give, we just give you the opportunity. One of the reasons is because we understand that people are on different financial calendars. You know, we understand that each one of you probably gets paid differently. Some of you may get paid once a month. At the first or at the end of the month, you may get your paycheck. Especially if you're on a fixed income and your major source of income is Social Security, you get that check once a month. Now, we understand that, and so we're going to give you an opportunity every week because some of you want to give, but you've got to give when the money's there. Some of the rest of you might get paid twice a month. And so you get paid on the 1st and the 15th, and twice a month you get this check. And so you want to give proportionately twice a month. And so it wouldn't do if we only passed the collection plate once if you want to give twice a month. Some of you, maybe you get paid every week. You go to work and every week you get a paycheck. And so every week you want the opportunity to give, and we understand that every one of you is on a different financial calendar. And so rather than just passing the offering plate one Sunday a month, we give you the opportunity every week. Because here's what I understand. I understand so clearly why Paul says this, that they should be taking a regular offering. My wife's over here. I think she's making fun of me because I'm trying to talk with my hands and keep this one tied to my body. This isn't good. This is bad. Maybe I ought to just wear both of my slings next week and then I... But here's what I understand. It's easier to give a little bit frequently than it is to try to save and give one chunk at a time. You see, if you get paid every week, and you want to give every week with your paycheck, and so you want to give a little bit every week, it's a whole lot easier for you to give regularly little bits than it is to say, you know what, I'm just going to save up, and at the end of the year, one check, I'm going to write one check at the end of the year for all of my offering for the year. You know, you figure out what you're going to give, and you just save it week by week, and at the end of the year, it's a whole lot easier to give little bits regularly than it is to try to give once in a big portion. Unless, of course, you get paid once in a big portion, and then it might be easier that way. I've known some farmers, you know, you give your harvest, you sell all your grain at one time, you've got a big income. And that's why in the Old Testament they would come at the first fruits, and they would bring in their offerings of the first fruits at one time, is because when you have that kind of income, it's easier to give once. But it's easier to give little bits regularly. And giving should be the first thing that you do. And so, since that's the case, if the first thing that you're going to do, and you're on a different calendar than somebody else, we're just going to give you that opportunity regularly to give. And here's the other thing. When we give you the opportunity to give regularly, we don't have to coerce you. You notice that Paul doesn't say that they're supposed to be giving at a certain level. He doesn't say, okay, here is your portion of the gift for Jerusalem. The churches at Galatia are going to give this much. The churches of Macedonia are going to give this much. And you as the church at Corinth, this is your portion and you have to come up with this amount of money. You see, he doesn't do that. Rather, he says that they are supposed to set aside a portion as they are blessed. He doesn't say what that portion is. He doesn't give us any indication that there's a certain amount. He just says that you are to set aside what you have put in your heart. What you and God have decided is the proper amount. You set that aside, you give it regularly, and then there won't have to be this big offering when I come. He's not saying that there won't be any offering. He's not saying, okay, you give now, and when I show up, the offering ceases. He's just saying, you know, there won't have to be some special offering where you're trying to scurry around and get a great big bunch of money all at once. And so here's the thing. We're not going to coerce you to give. You know, you go to a restaurant, and you get served at a restaurant, and before you walk out the door, they give you a bill. I'm not going to go sit in my office real fast while Matt's leading the last couple of songs this morning and sit down at my computer and figure out who's here and figure out what you owe for the worship and the communion and my sermon and, you know, give you a gratuity there and write that in. And then on your way out, I'm not going to meet all of you with a bill. And we're not going to keep track, and I'm not going to send you a bill. The financial team isn't going to send you a bill in the middle of the week and say, here's what you owe for coming to church on Sunday. You know, we're going to come. We're going to give you the truth. We're going to help you to live life the way that God calls you to, but we're not going to send you a bill. We're not going to coerce you. And we don't have some guy hired named Vinny who's going to come out and collect from you or break your legs if you don't give it. You know, Rather, what we're going to do is we're going to teach you about giving. We're going to talk about it, you know, 3.85% of the time. Once or twice a year, you can expect that we might talk about giving. Because it was a frequent subject in the Bible, and as we just work through books of the Bible, as we work through different subjects, giving is going to come up. And so we're going to talk about giving occasionally. But it's not because we're trying to coerce you. It's because we're trying to help you understand the way that God intends for us to handle money and the fact that some of that means giving to the local church. And we're also going to tell you about other opportunities to give. You know, that's what Paul is really writing to Corinth about. Paul isn't writing to Corinth and telling them about giving for the regular needs of the church. He isn't talking about supporting the minister or the other things that the church might need. Excuse me. Rather, he's telling them about this special one-time opportunity to give to help brothers and sisters in Jerusalem who have a need. If you read the book of Acts, you find that there was a famine that was affecting Jerusalem. And so these other churches outside of the region of Judea were taking up an offering to send to their brothers, their sisters in Christ in Jerusalem to help offset those needs. And so here's the thing. We're going to give you opportunities from time to time to do those kinds of things. You know, a few weeks ago we put the basket out and for offerings to help with Hurricane Harvey and then with Irma, because we understood that those were some needs that we could help with. You know, every year we take up an offering for Thanksgiving baskets, for Christmas gifts. You know, those are other opportunities, and we'll fill you in on those opportunities and give you the opportunity to share as God has blessed you. And so Paul is writing and he says, take up a collection regularly. He also says this. He says that they're going to spend the money wisely. You can expect that we as a church, we as the leaders of the church, are going to do our best to spend the money that is given very wisely, very judiciously. First of all, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to meet the needs of the church. We're going to use the money that's given to take care of the needs of the church. Now, some of those needs are things like the light. You know, we need to pay the electric bill. We need to pay the gas bill. We pay the water bill. You know, we've got to pay for those things. We've got to take care of those things because, you know what? We all like to come in here where it's warm. And we all like to be able to see what's going on and to hear. And we like the words for our music so that we can see and know what we're singing. I've noticed that a lot of you like to drink coffee. And if you drink coffee, you need to use the restroom. And so we need to have the water. You know, those are things that are necessary if we're going to continue to meet in this kind of a setting. And so part of what we do is we look at the best way to take care of those things. And it also means that we do our best throughout the week to make sure that we're not abusing those things. You know, you come in here in the middle of the week and the sanctuary isn't cool in the summer and it isn't hot in the winter. It's not freezing in here in the winter, but it's not hot. Turn the temperature down. Use a lot less fuel. We do the same thing in the fellowship hall. And in fact, if you've been noticing, if you come to things in the middle of the week, you've been noticing that there are times when we'll have our board meetings, we'll have our elders meetings right out here in the foyer. We'll move some tables. Because here's the thing, if I've been in my office working all week, if I've been in my office during the day, the temperature's a little warmer in there, and so this entryway is warmer. And so rather than using the extra heat gas to heat up the fellowship hall where we meet sometimes, we just meet in the entryway. Because it's part of using money wisely. We're going to use the money that's given wisely for outreach. We're going to look at opportunities and things that we can do to promote the name of the church, to promote the ministries of the church, and we're going to do that wisely. We're not going to just throw money at everything and hope some of it sticks. We're going to investigate opportunities and we're going to think about some things that we can do. And in fact, the last couple of elders meetings, that's been one of the conversations. What are some things that we can really do to promote the church and to do some outreach that is beneficial for the community, but it's also beneficial for the kingdom of God? And we're going to do that wisely. Well, we're not just going to go blindly and do something. We're going to investigate. We're going to ask those questions. And then there's the ministry needs, the needs of the church from week to week. You know, we come in here and you know, we have to pay every year. We pay for the license so that we can put the words up on the screen and so that we can sing some of the songs that we like to sing. We're going to, every so often, we have to buy some material, some Sunday school lessons, some Bible study stuff for Wednesday nights. We have to buy those things, those weekly and regular ministry needs. Do you realize that we have to buy communion bread occasionally, and we have to buy communion juice? Those are ministry needs. That money comes from the offering, but we steward it. We do our best to do those things wisely. And we don't take it for granted that the money is just going to be there. There's also the fact that spending money wisely means that we're going to take care of the staff. You know, you look through some of the rest of what Paul says about money, and he talks about the fact that you're supposed to take care of those who minister to you. And so, you know, part of the offerings goes for salaries. It goes to make sure that I can feed my family. Thank you. We appreciate that. We like to eat at our house. You know, I like tasty food. And I don't eat a lot of it, but I like to eat. You know? And I don't want to find out if the red berries outside of my house are edible. I have enough problems walking close to the bushes as it is. I don't want to wade through them. You know, and I trust that the elders consider very carefully what they're paying the ministers and making sure that they're taking care of us. But at the same time, they're not allowing us to live frugal or frivolous lifestyles. You know, I don't eat filet mignon every night. Right? In fact, I don't know when the last time I ate steak was. Not because I can, it's just because we choose not to. They don't overpay us, trust me. They take care of the secretary. You know, we pay the secretary. She comes in and she does some work. And the last couple of weeks, if you've noticed in your bulletin, we've got an insert. It just kind of helps you understand who she is. She's not here regularly. But we want you to know who she is. And she comes in, she does the bulletin, she does the newsletter, she prints other stuff for us, she puts together, you know, she helped put together the flyer for a Hallelujah night and made sure that there were copies of those to be given out. Probably later this week, she's going to redo some, print out some, what are they called? Brochures. She's going to print out some brochures for the church so that we can put those in the Thanksgiving baskets. We've just been in the process of updating it a little bit so that it has the appropriate ministry staff and has some appropriate numbers and stuff in it. But we'll have her print those out for us. You know, she does those kinds of things. And Nora, unless you're here on Friday mornings, you don't see Nora. Occasionally she's here on Thursday or Saturday, but generally Friday mornings. And she comes in and she makes sure that the facilities are clean so that when you come in on Sunday morning, the bathrooms are nice and clean and there's what you need in there. The supplies are soap, and she mops the floor so that it looks clean when you go by, get your donuts, get your coffee. You know, you got to have your coffee, I know. But we take care of those things. Those are some needs of the church. As we have the building, we have to take care of it. But all of this is done wisely. It's done with prayer. First of all, it's done with prayer. We pray about those things. We pray about the offering. You know, every week we pray for the offering. In part, that praying is that God will bless the church. But then when it comes time to spend those things, we'll spend some time in prayer. When we get ready to set the budget, the budget team will pray over their decisions. When it comes time to bring that to the elders and to the board, we'll pray over our decision and try to make a wise decision. And then from time to time throughout the year, we'll have to look at those numbers again and we'll pray about what we're going to do. We spend that money wisely and prayerfully. You know, when it comes time to think, you know, what are we going to do for Bible study? Those are prayerful considerations. And here's the thing, we do it and we always understand that we're using God's funds and not anyone else's. It's God's money, not ours. It's God's money that He's given to you to use, it's not yours. But we know you have a connection to it. We know that there is a real emotional connection when we give. And so we take that into consideration. And we do our spending wisely. You know, we investigate before we jump into things to make sure that we're going to get the best deal on something that's going to last. On ministry tools that are going to do the best for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Paul says this, he says, "When I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem." And we're going to choose ministry partners wisely. We like Paul, we're going to choose our ministry partners wisely. We're going to look at those that we support in ministry. And if you notice, every month we are supporting different missions. And every month there's a mission that the information about a specific mission is put out on the table out there. And if you want to know more about any of the missions, we've got information in the wood rack out there in the entryway as you go in to get your coffee this morning. I know you're in a hurry to get the donut before somebody gets the one you like, but as you're going in there, if you look off to the left, there's those shelves or the pocket things. And in those racks, there's information about the missions we support. And the mission team looks at that and considers those missions wisely. And here's some things that they're going to ask. The first thing they're going to ask is, what are they doing? And they're going to ask that question like this, is, does what they're doing align with our purpose for ministry? You see, there's a lot of people out there that are doing some things in the name of God. But what we're going to ask is, do these people, do these that we're supporting, does what they're doing align with our purpose, our desire to see the gospel spread? And so we're not going to support just anybody, but we're going to look and we're going to be cautious and we're going to be careful and we're going to ask, do they align up with our purpose for ministry? And then we're going to ask this next question that's part of what are they doing, and that is this, is what is their track record? You know, if they've been doing ministry for a while, what's their track record? How do they do ministry? Are they faithful? Are they successful? Now, here's what I know is sometimes what we want to think of success isn't the way to measure success. You know, there are people who go into a ministry environment and they work for 10, 20 years and they only have one or two converts. And it isn't until they've been there a long time that they really begin to see the great fruit. But we're going to ask is, what is their track record? Are they able to do the work effectively? And then we're going to ask the next question, and that is, what accountability do they have for their funds? You know, we want you to know what we do with our funds, and so we have an accountability every month. Every month, the finance team puts together a couple of documents, and they're out on the table, that basically say, this is what our offering is, and this is what our spending was at. And you can see and you can see how the money's kind of been being dispersed. How it's come in, how it's dispersed. And so you can say, hey, there's some accountability. And we're going to ask for the same thing. Is there some accountability in our ministry partners? And really, that's going to come in two forms. Is there some oversight? Is there oversight in the way that the money is handled and the way that the money is spent? You know, I mentioned earlier that one of the reasons that people don't like to give in this day and age is the fact that there's been some misuse over the last 20, 30 years. You know, you see people that they ask for money all the time and they live these opulent lives and you wonder what they're doing with the money. Well, we're going to ask, you know, is there some oversight? Is there somebody that's being accountable besides the ones who are spending the money? Do they have a board? Do they have somebody that they're accountable to? Because we want you to know that the money is being handled wisely. And then we're going to ask, are they going to report back to us? Are they going to give us an understanding occasionally of a quarterly or monthly of how the money's being spent? Because just like we think you need to know how the money in our church is being spent, we want to know that those that we're supporting are using the funds wisely. We want them to give an accounting back to us of how that money's being handled. You know, Paul says that he's going to look for people to take that offering to Jerusalem who are trustworthy and who are accountable. Well, we want the same things. And we want you to know that we as a church strive for the same thing. You see, all in all, we try to do our best to be the best stewards of God's monies and the monies that you entrust to this ministry that we can. Does it mean that once in a while we don't wish we wouldn't have done something or wish we would have done something? No. Just like all of us, we as leaders, sometimes we don't make the right decision. You know, sometimes we think a program looks really good and at the end we find out that it was kind of a flop. Sometimes we look in hindsight and say, man, we should have done this. but we always strive to do the best that we can with the monies that God entrusts with us through you. You see, our primary purpose, if we don't do anything else, the ultimate goal is not to make a name for ourselves, but it is to make Jesus famous. Yes, we need a building. We live in a culture where we kind of need a building to do ministry. But it's not about the building. You know, we don't go out and try to continually make the building more attractive to people on the outside. I'm not here to build a bigger building, a new addition to the building every other year or any of that. Someday if we have to, great, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is to do our best to use the monies we have to spread the name of Jesus Christ. Because He is the only reason that we're here. He is the only reason that we're gathered this morning. Is Jesus Christ. We're going to do our best to be effective with our with the way we handle money to make Jesus known. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to sing a rendition of Amazing Grace that's been added to a little bit, but here's the thing. Jesus came and died on the cross. One of the times that Paul talks about money, he talks about the fact that Jesus gave up everything for us. He willingly gave for us, and we willingly should give so that others can know Him. And others have given so that you could hear the message. Others have given so that you could come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior if you already know Him. But this morning, if you don't know Him, we're going to sing this song, and I'd invite you to come and we'll just begin a conversation, or you can catch me after church and we'll begin a conversation about what it looks like to follow Jesus. And this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a member of this body of believers, just ask that you would think about how you give and think about and pray about how the leaders can wisely spend what's given. Let's stand together as we sing this morning.